Hey everybody, welcome back to Casa Walsh, a Beverly Hills 90210 podcast. My name is Sam, and on today's episode, we are going over season 7, episode 24, called Spring Breakdown, and it premiered on April 2nd, 1997. So Brandon and Tracy are off to Hong Kong to see Jim and Cindy. Everyone else is going to the premiere party that Valerie's throwing for Rob at the After Dark. Obviously, Kelly's not going because she's just moping around about Brandon going to Hong Kong with Tracy. So it's safe to say that Kelly is not too thrilled about this. I mean, we've seen it lately. She's definitely been giving her... She's giving, like, the implication that she's way more into... she's into Brandon again. So Claire thinks that maybe she needs to move on. Some things aren't worth saving. Sure, Claire. Kelly still has her non-engagement ring. She's wearing it. You remember she bought the ring that he had? She bought it and it's... Brandon went to go return it. She bought it and it's now... she's wearing it as a ring now. So that's what's going on there. So we are officially in Hong Kong and we see Jim. Hi, Jim. He's there. He welcomes Brandon and Tracy to Casa Walsh East. Very clever. Cindy is apparently in London because Brenda has mono. Okay. I had mono in college. When I was, I think I was a freshman, though. I didn't think, I mean, you just feel like crap. You can't really be around people also, right? Like, isn't it, I mean, I don't recall, like, having my parents, like, my mom, like, tend to me. So, I mean, especially if I lived in a different country, I don't think my mom would fly to London for mono. Maybe if it was something more serious, but mono's mono. It's not that, I mean, it sucks. That's all it is. Weird. I guess they just really probably just wanted a gym in this episode and didn't want, Cindy. I don't know. Anyways, Tracy notes that apparently it's been, a long time since the four Walshes were together. And that is very true. They have not been together in quite a while. Jim then wonders why Brandon has never mentioned that he's dating Tracy. It's because he's not that serious. I mean, maybe Jim is like... Oh, you've never mentioned this girl, Tracy, that you're dating, yet you bring her to Hong Kong. That seems serious. But I feel he was, like, forced into bringing her. Like, let's be real. Dr. Martin is about to be released from the hospital. His recovering has been going quickly, which is good, though he has not completely regained the use of his right arm and leg. Still has some short-term memory problems, and Felice hasn't told Donna... that her father's going to a rehab center, not home. Donna is very upset about that. Why? What's wrong with the rehab center? I think the rehab center would get him the help that he needs on a daily basis, and then he can come home. Like, why does he need to be home for all that? She's not, like, is she gonna get, it's just ridiculous. Over at Rob's house, he and Valerie are still sleeping in the mattress on the floor in the living room. I don't really know what's going on there. Alan, his agent, calls to confirm that Valerie is bringing Rob to the party. Rob obviously doesn't want to go because all he wants to do is sit on his mattress in his living room. But he says Hollywood's full of fake people, blah, blah, blah. He's kind of boring, right? Like, he's boring. He's hot, but he's boring. Later, In Hong Kong, Jim asks Brandon what's up with Kelly, kind of how she's doing, and he's completely playing it off like he doesn't care, doesn't know. Sure, Brandon, I believe you. But apparently, Kelly has been trying to distract herself by fixing an old rocking chair. Things are going really well for her. Steve sits on it and breaks it, so she's just, I don't know. It's kind of funny though when Steve falls. Claire talks to Kelly into going to the after party, the after dark for the party after all, because she's just been moping around fixing a rocking chair, crying about Brandon. Alan meets Rob and Valerie at the house before the party, so Alan can introduce Rob to an aspiring actress named Heather, who he wants to pair them up together for the party. I guess she's a client as well. Rob obviously says he's going to the party with Valerie, but Alan does his little swarmy thing to get Valerie to back down. Obviously, they have a little side deal going, and that's what's going on there. So we are now at the Peach Pit after dark. Don and David look over info at the. They're not at the after dark, they're just at the Peach Pit. They're looking over information about the rehab facility. Donna is still against this, but David thinks Dr. Martin might benefit from one. He decides to drop the disagreement and looks to support groups instead. Really? I don't want to be insensitive, and maybe it's because I haven't had anyone. Do you need a support group for when your father or mother suffers from a stroke and they don't then have like full use of their arm or I don't know what to say about that. But anyways, the Bare Naked Ladies are at the premiere party because obviously this is the 90s and the Bare Naked Ladies were a big deal in the 90s. Kelly doesn't have a good time, obviously, but at least she gets to practice rejecting the guys because that's what she's going to be doing. She starts to enjoy herself, though, a little bit more when Rob shows up without Valerie. Because obviously we know she loves Valerie and Valerie loves her. Back in Hong Kong, Brandon and Tracy and Jim go to a market where Tracy admires a book. The salesman tells them that it's about a prince in love with two princesses on two different shores. He goes back and forth, visiting both, and eventually drowns in his own indecision. Is this what's going on? That's the story. He's going back and forth between Tracy and Kelly. Sure. At the After Dark, Valerie gets rid of Heather by sending her off to a fake meeting with Cameron Crowe. Cameron Crowe's a director, in case you didn't know. Brandon, Tracy, and Jim have lunch and talk over blah blah blah. I don't know. It just I don't need to go into this whole relationship. It's just been, whatever to me. David gets Dr. Martin a bunch of stuff that will help him get around his house better. Donna thinks this will convince Felice not to send him to the rehab. David, however, knows that Dr. Martin has big problems to overcome and will need more help. Donna wants to do whatever she thinks is best for her father, rather than worrying about, making Felice mad. But Donna, I'm usually never on Felice's side, but I am 100% on Felice's side here. I don't understand why she thinks that a rehab facility is such a bad thing, like why he needs to be home. She thinks she's not a physical therapist. She's not an occupational therapist. She cannot help him with this. She could be supportive, but she can't actually help him. Whereas people at a rehab facility can. That is their job. That is the purpose of it. So it's just, I don't understand why she's so resistant on this. Anyways, Kelly is drinking, so alcohol has made her night a lot better. She's now talking to some guy that she kind of was a bitch to before. I think he's kind of cute, so why not talk to him? But then again, she is in love with Brandon, so she doesn't want to talk to anybody else, and she just wants to be mopey. But she is now drinking, so maybe she's got a little buzz going, so she's a little bit more willing to talk to this guy. Valerie and Alan bicker about who has more power in their agreement. I'd say Valerie, maybe since she gets the money and she gets to sleep with Rob, but I don't know. And Alan's just the agent. At the hospital, Dr. Martin tells Donna that he is going to the rehab facility. She thinks that it's just giving into, he's just giving it to Felice. But he assures her that making decisions, he's making the decision for himself. Plus, he doesn't want Donna to have to take care of him while he's recovering. Claire notices how much Kelly has to drink and tries to get her to go home. It's really interesting what the I don't know, the transformation Claire has made. I think out of all the cast members, she's 100% changed the most since like when she first joined. She was just like this wild child and, was obsessed with Brandon, tied him to the bedpost, had gotten to like a big, issue at the her prom. I mean, she's just she's a completely different person now. It's just interesting. But anyways, Claire's noticing how much she's drank. She tries to get her to go home, but Kelly does point out to her that Claire wanted her to come to the party in the first place, which is true. So Rob makes Alan apologize to Valerie for the move with Heather. Alan says that he may be a snake, but at least he's obvious about it, unlike Valerie. He outs Valerie for taking the money from him to get Rob to do the movie that he wants him to do. And Valerie says she only did it to make Rob see how sleazy Alan is. And Rob decides to side with her and fires Alan, although he's not thrilled with Valerie either. So now he, I don't know, he's in for a new agent, I guess. Jim and Brandon talk about various fears. Jim's are Hong Kong going into communism, and Brandon is graduation. So, very similar things going on. Then they move on to discussing Tracy. Brandon admits that he doesn't care. He's like, he admits it to Jim. He says basically she's more into, I'm not in as into her as she is into me. Jim says it's obvious that he's still in love with Kelly. If they didn't talk about her, why, how is it obvious? They mentioned her once. But I mean, we know where they're going with this story. Brandon tells him about how he kept the ring and only returned it a couple of weeks ago. So I don't know. I mean, I guess he's implying that he's over her. I don't know. Anyway, so Claire complains to Steve that Kelly's throwing herself at that the cute guy. His name is Pete. The guy she's been chatting to, she realizes when she's talking to him, she lost her ring. So she starts frantically looking for it. For some reason, this completely turns Pete off. I don't know why. I mean, it was an engagement ring, so it wasn't cheap, obviously, and she bought it. So if she did lose it, I completely understand why she's frantically looking for it. They're implying that she's frantically looking for it because this is meaningful to her relationship with Brandon, but I think it's 100% because, 100% because of the cost of the ring in my mind. At the hospital, Felice is annoyed with Donna for giving Dr. Martin the option of going home instead of rehab. I don't understand this, Donna. And also, like, you're in college. You have no say in this matter. You don't even live at home. So shut the fuck up. And I usually am on your side. I'm not on your side here, Donna. Felice also says, like, I'm the one who's going to have to take care of him. You're not going to be. Donna says to her mom that she could do it, and you have to be strong for him. But then Felice admits that she's only as confident as she is because Dr. Martin is always there for her, and she's glad that Donna has her father's confidence. Again, going to a rehab facility is not a bad thing. That is not necessarily a permanent thing, okay? Anyway, so the next day, Valerie goes to Rob's to apologize for the whole mess with Alan. Apparently, he's not that mad at her since he wants her to be his new manager. She isn't sure, but then she realizes that she gets to boss him around to get another 10% of the money. So how could she say no to that? She just falls into these things, right? I mean, I just find this funny. Anyways, Tracy buys the book about the two princesses and asks Brandon to assure her that she is not a placeholder until he finds someone better, and he tells her that she's not. Poor, naive, young Tracy. Clearly, you are a placeholder for Kelly because we know. Anyways, Dr. Martin has decided to go home after all, because obviously Donna gets what she wants. Donna and David get the house ready for him. Felice is actually civil towards David, which she sees, I guess, or when she sees him. At the beach apartment, Steve gently tells Kelly that she needs to let Brandon go. And the ring, which he's confused about when she even had it in the first place. He tells her to put it somewhere that she won't see it all the time, and she asks him not to tell Brandon that she has the ring. After Steve leaves, Kelly does put it in a little jewelry box thing, which I don't know. Anyways, Steve's a good friend. I think that he was very sweet with her here. But I don't know. Anyways, that's it. That was the episode. So, yeah. Nothing too crazy. But it was fun to see Jim, and I don't know where I guess they made a set for this Hong Kong thing, because there's no way they really went to Hong Kong to film this episode. But yeah, that is it for this one. Fun facts and tidbits. So, interestingly enough, Heather was played by an actress named Paige Rowland. In real life, she is actually married to an actor named Michael Dietz. You ask who that is? That was actually Greg, the pediatric guy with Kelly, with the whole Tara situation. So I find that kind of funny, that I don't think they were married at the time, but his wife was on the show also, although he had a bigger part because he was on for a few episodes, and I think this is just a one and done for her. Anyways, the Bare Naked Ladies did appear on this episode. They had three songs that they performed, Brian Wilson, Life in a Nutshell, and The Old Apartment. Since we are talking about the Bare Naked Ladies, I figured I would do the spotlight on them. The Bare Naked Ladies is a band that was founded in 1988 in a town called Scarborough in Ontario. So they were a big band, or Canadian band, which I'm gonna say I think that probably Jason Priestley was a big fan of, because we know that
He's all about Canada. Oh, Canada. But anyways, they really got famous or more popular in the 90s, hence them appearing on this episode. I don't know why. They never really did it for me. I'm not a huge... I had friends that loved the Bare Naked Ladies. I was more of a Counting Crows girl, I think. Definitely not Bare Naked Ladies. I don't know. I don't really particularly care for any of their songs. I guarantee you I don't have a single Bare Naked Ladies song on my Spotify list. Anyways, but I do find it interesting. They're still a band. They're still performing. However, the lead singer, Steve Page, left the group. So they're still performing. So they have a new lead singer, and it's not him. And I always find that really, really interesting when bands have, like, lead singers, or, I don't know, when bands have, like, a lead singer leaves. I feel like that changes the whole thing. I understand if you get a new keyboardist, drummer, guitarist, but the singer is kind of pivotal, wouldn't you think? So I just, I don't know, I find that a little interesting that that he left. But anyways, they're still performing. Good for them. Like I said, never did it for me. But to each his own. But that is it for the fun facts and tidbits and spotlight for this episode. Thank you all for listening to Casa Walsh, a Beverly Hills 90210 podcast. My name is Sam, and on the next episode, we will be going over season 7, episode 25, called Heaven Sent, and we'll see you then. Thanks for listening.